Welcome to SickCast, brought to you by Sick Research Institute, illuminating every path.
Waigaruji ka khalsa, waigaruji ki fateh. My name is Jocelyn Kaur, and I'm a research associate at SickCRE. I'm joined here today by Simranjeet Kaur to talk about the civic impact in anticipation of this year's civic leadership program. Guru Fateh, Simranjeet, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, what you do, and what civic track you took last year?
Sure. Yeah. So my name is Simranjeet Kaur. I'm from Madison, Wisconsin. I did go to school in DC for a bit though, so that's kind of cool. And then what you said, what civic track I was in?
Yeah.
Ronnie 101. And that was, August 2022 or summer 2022 was my first time going, and I took Gurbani 101.
Cool. And how did you find out about civic?
Yeah. So there was literally like two or three SICKs at my university at American, and one of them was Kiran Ahluwalia, and I thought she was so cool. And I had known her, you know, we talked a little bit, and she posted a lot about civic and talked a lot about civic and was like, it's so great, it was so like, I like found Sangha there and it was super awesome. And I was like, I want to go there. It's like, I want to be there. Just seeing the impact it had on her, and especially the long-term effect it had on her, not only in the way she like spoke about it, but posted about it online. Like it was clear that it wasn't just some one-off camp that she went to. It was really a leadership retreat that had a long-term impact on her.
Yeah, that's a tale as old as time. I was thinking about like, even as we've started to like post about this year's civic, people will be asking questions in the comments and stuff. And instead of us having to respond, like other civicers from last year, like, oh, I have information about this. Like, it's so fun. You should go. Like, I do think that people who go tend to be very vocal about enjoying it and having been impacted by it. So that's really cool. Well, then I guess like what made you choose Gurbani 101 as a track?
Yeah. So one thing that I was really worried about, and you'll see as a trend, that like is that I'm always worried that I don't know enough, and I'm worried that I'm not qualified enough. Mm-hmm. But I was reading the description for Gurbani 101, and it felt like it was very introductory, yet it like had challenging concepts in it. I definitely knew I wanted to take a 101 class because I wanted a little bit more, you know, information rather than more discussion based. Not that there weren't discussions, but I knew I wanted that. But really the difference between Sikhi 101 and Gurbani 101 is I felt like I was reading Shabads and I was really connecting, but the issue I kept on running into is the English translation. And I felt like it was very Westernized. As we know, a lot of these translations we see online are kind of from a Western framework sometimes, and they almost use like almost feeling like giving a Christian feeling of like Lord and our Savior. And I really wanted to get down to the real meaning of some words just so I could understand for myself what Gurbani is trying to say. And I felt super reliant on these translations as someone who, you know, speaks conversational Punjabi, but I don't know a lot of Punjabi literature and poetry. So I really wanted to get that out of it, which I feel like I did.
Yeah, that's great. I think, yeah, every talk I've ever done with like other alums has been like, I didn't think that I was like qualified to go, or like I was terrified. And I'm thinking about like the first time that I went as like a young adult, because I went once when I was like, I had just turned 18 and I went with my siblings, so I was less sort of afraid. I don't think I really had any idea what I was walking into, so I was just kind of like, I'll be fine. And then when I was older and I went after college, I was much more, I think, kind of like hyper aware of what I didn't know. And so I just remember like the first week before civic being so terrified and so worried that like everybody there was going to know more than me. And I remember like making a list. Like I was like, I need to read all these books before I go. I had a week. I was like, I need to read all these books. Yes. I need to like figure out how to like memorize these different things. I obviously did not check off one single thing off the list, but I had like an utter like breakdown the week before sick. And then I got there and I was like,
exact
yeah. It's so common. And then I got there and I was like, oh, nobody knows like what they're doing. Yeah. And a thing that I think a lot about is just like how unique that environment is, where like even if people know, like quote unquote, know more than you, I think pretty immediately through the reflection and discussion that you're doing, like as a larger group, like people come to understand how much they don't know about certain things. And it doesn't become like, okay, well, that person knows more than me, like therefore their like opinion weighs more. It's just like it's like a very compassionate environment in which to not know, I think. And I think like a small thing that I think a lot about is one of the civic coordinators during that period of time, Kushwant, was like, we were doing our das before we ate, and I was terrified to lead it. So I'd always like kind of mosey on over. I was like, to be
like, you're like walking slowly and you're in the back and you're like looking at your phone and being like, whoa, the time is so interesting right now.
Yeah. And he was like, you should do it. And I was like, but what if I mess up? And he's like, isn't this the best place to mess up? And I was like,
stop.
Wise words. And I just still think about that. That was like when I was 22 and I'm 28 now.
No, the same thing happened with me where I was so stressed. Like I visited family in Surrey before I came to Civic. And every night I was like, Mossy, I don't know anything. Can you please sit me down and explain something? And there was this one reading completely in like Punjabi. And I read it really slowly, comprehended maybe 10% of it. And like, I had her go through it with me. I was so stressed. And the first day I got there and I sat next to Vineet, who I think was a TA, right, for Sikhi 101. I think she'll be a facilitator or maybe a TA again, but phenomenal individual. I sat next to her and I'm like literally shivering. And we're eating langar. She's like, what's up? Like, how are you doing? And she's like, you look nervous. And I was like, I don't know who you are, but I'm so scared. I was like, they just signed me up for Shabbat, then I'm like the second person going. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. It feels like I've never even done a Shabbat before. Mm. And I was like, oh, I don't know what to do. And she's like, your Sikhi is not a performance.
Mm.
I was like, stop. That's so good. She's like, your Sikhi is not a performance. This Shabbat is not a performance. Like, we're not here for entertainment.
Mm.
We're here to learn and be in Sangha and ask questions and practice. And I was like, whoa. And I tell that to everyone I can. I'm like, your Sikhi is not a performance.
Yeah. I think you said that to me.
Yes, I have, because that literally did like, and that's what I was saying is like, you'll see it's a theme of like, every time I'm like trying to do something, I have such a fear of looking dumb that I won't do something or I'll be so scared. But then that really is like how I started. So that, right, that was the first day. She was like, your Sikhi is not a performance. And I have to keep on reminding myself that my Sikhi is not a performance. Like, I was so scared of showing up and getting judged of like, she doesn't know this, she doesn't know that, or, oh, she does her eyebrows, she's not a Sikh, you know, stuff like that. Like, I think it's even the smallest trivial things can make you feel like you don't belong, but I didn't experience that. And literally that was the biggest sign of like, okay, I'm here to learn, it's going to be fine. And it was great.
Yeah, that's great. I love that story. I'm also just thinking about like how many wise words just come out of people's mouths at Civic.
All the time. I'm like, as the podcaster here, resident podcaster, you should be recording everything.
Yeah, okay, got it. I'll do that this summer.
It'll be Civic wrapped.
Everyone will sign a release.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, I think... So given that really common experience of like being kind of nervous or being very nervous about it beforehand, sometimes it takes like a little bit of self-convincing to even send in the application. So like did you experience like a kind of hesitation even in like filling it out and like pressing send? Or were you like, okay, I'll just do it. And then if I get in, I can worry later. Like, what was that process like? Because I know that I stretched it out for as long as I could.
Yeah. I definitely stretched it out as long as I could. So it's an application, right? And to me, that was like, they're going to reject me. I wasn't even like, oh, I'll see my chances. I was like, they're going to reject me. Mm. And so I think, I don't know if it was new this year, but you could record your responses to questions. Mm-hmm. But I think I retook that video maybe 500 times. And my parents were like, are you coming down for dinner? Are you coming down for dinner? And I was like, I got to record this video. I like finished an hour later. They're like, what were you recording? I was like, oh, just did like a 1 minute clip of me answering, like, what's your name? I was just like, it took me a long time, but then I was like, I finally just got to do it. Yeah. But yeah, I think it was that fear in my head that was holding me back for sure. I'm not sure if I'm going to be qualified enough, but once I sent it in, I was like, it's out of my hands.
Yeah. Hook 'em.
I know. And now people are like, oh, I don't know if I should apply. I'm like, just do it. Fill it out. Just do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think also, I mean, the application can be kind of intimidating just because, like, there are a lot of long, sort of long form responses. But I do think, like, it's worth knowing that, like, the reason for that is so that we, like, know where people are coming from and what their Sikhi journeys have looked like so far and, like, what it is that they want to get out of this experience. And it's less, like, show us how smart you are and how much you know, you know? So I think maybe if that's, like, a helpful thing for somebody to hear who's, like, has application open in like one of their many tabs and has just been putting it off. Yes. Send it in. Yeah.
Just send it in. Yeah. And I think too that a lot of times people are like, oh, like, I don't know if I'm going to say the perfect thing. Mm. It's not about being perfect. Back to that concept of like your Sikhi's not performance. Like we're not here to be perfect. Yeah. We're here to be intentional and to think through things. And I thought that the questions really did invoke like thoughtful responses from me. I don't know if I said the smartest thing, but it definitely like made me think about like, okay, why do I want to come here? What do I want to accomplish when I get there? Like, what are my life experiences thus far? So, I mean, I think it's just a great, I mean, even if you're like, oh, I don't know if I want to go, just fill out the application because it's like kind of a great little process for you to like think about your own Sikhi too.
Yeah, no, I think that's great advice. Yeah, I guess kind of going with the theme that we've been sort of talking about of like what you expected versus what you experienced. Something that came up a lot this past summer was people kept calling Sidhika camp, which really bothered me personally. But I wanted to kind of get your take because I didn't really grow up going to camps. And it's not that like Sikh camps are bad and Sidhika is good. It's just that like it's a different feel. And so I wanted to kind of get... yeah, the perspective of someone who's kind of been in both of those environments of like what was different about Sidhik from especially the camps maybe you went to like growing up. Yeah. Because I think there's also maybe sometimes like an expectation that the environment is going to be really similar to like a Sikh camp where oftentimes like people are just kind of telling you this is the way it is and there's less kind of like room for discussion or dialogue or like questioning depending on the camp. Yeah, so I just wanted to get your perspective on that because I think people might, that might also be a thing that people are wondering about.
No, totally. That makes sense. Yeah, so I grew up going to camps and I'm actually a counselor at a camp too. I'm quite involved. Me, I'm like, oh, camper counselor vibes, whatever. Love a good icebreaker. But essentially, yeah, so I think why that was confusing for some people is because you grow up going to these camps where, like you said, there's a set schedule and there's not a lot of room for, I guess, like, even change in the sense of, like, you have this set schedule of, like, okay, well, the facilitators are going to do this and then the senior counselors are going to do this and you have to transport the kids to here and then we're going to learn about this during that. It's very, like, set in stone, but I felt like it's so that it was like, okay, like we're gonna take a break right now because it sounds like this class needs a break right now. Mm-hmm. We're gonna go for a walk actually because we're gonna do walking meditation today, or we're gonna do this. It's very, not to make it sound like loosey goosey, but it is, it's a leadership retreat too, right? Of like, your input is also valued, and it is important. I feel like in a lot of camp spaces, just by the nature of a camp, is like, you have a lot more obligations to the people that are paying to go. And typically those are kids, or the age range is larger. But because Civic is 18 plus, they want to empower you to, you know, take that into your own hands and create the day you want to have. Mm. No one was making you go to anything. I mean, not that anybody did this, but like, I was thinking one day, I was like, nobody has to go to the bond. Nobody has to do this stuff. Like, it's all in your hands. The experience is what you make of it. Because I was thinking, if that had happened at a camp, people would knock on your door and be like, why are you in your room? Like, we're supposed to be doing this, this, and this. Mm. But Civic, there was no one like doing that for you, because it's, you're meant to be a leader there. You're meant to take initiative. Mm. And one example I have of that is, we were talking about by Nunlalji's Guzzles. And afterwards, I was like, mind blown. I was like, this is crazy. And I was like, wow, like, I think that's so great. Like, this concept of love and like being intimate with your guru. I was like, I never imagined that, like, love and longing and all this stuff. And remember, Annie Banji was just like, do you want to do a little workshop on it? And I was like, me? I was like, you want me to what? She's like, girl, this is a leadership. She didn't say girl, but she said the equivalent of, girl, this is a leadership retreat. You want to talk more about something, post it in the group chat and say that you want to do that. Yes. So, yeah. So essentially that's what we did. I sent in the group chat being like, oh, we're going to talk about love and longing. Would you like to join? And people showed up and it was great.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. And I think like the thing about the Vaughn that's also interesting is that like, I do know that like other Civicers will knock on your door and be like, hey, are you okay? Like, hey, I just want to make sure you're up for the Vaughn. And I think like, obviously if like people weren't showing up, they like people would have a check-in to just be like, are you okay?
Right. It wasn't like nobody was watching for your safety, but to me it was refreshing that I wasn't, I mean, it was refreshing to me because I've been to so many camps, but I like how it was more like, if I want to make this worthwhile, like, that's on me.
Hmm.
If that's the type of person you are, like, Civic is, I would say, for you, of like, you show up, you're ready to do it. I think that's what made the experience all the more worthwhile, and people were a lot more engaged because they weren't there because their parents were like, hey, I heard about this camp, your sister's going, so I want you to go too. Actually, I already signed you up, because this is like, it's a little bit of a lengthy application, right? And you have to do it, and you have to get yourself there, and then you're in the middle of the woods, you know, with like people, with a like new sangat for a lot of people, right? So I just thought that that was great for the reason that, yeah, definitely people were checking in on you and like everybody. And for early morning divans, like, some people are like, who wants to like knock on my door because I'm not good at waking up?
Yeah.
I mean, I was the person knocking on other people's door because I like wake up pretty early sometimes. Yeah. But
yeah, no, I think that's really important, because like, tying into that, I think a lot of times when I'm asked by parents, like, what, like, when should I send my kid to Civic?
Mm-hmm.
My response every time is like, you shouldn't send your kid to Civic. Like, if your teenager or young adult child wants to go and like wants to make that decision for themselves, that's like the best sort of, that's the best headspace to be in, to be at Civic. Like, if you're there because your parents made you go, you're in class all day, like, you're learning new things, it can be like really hard for people because there is a lot of like unlearning that's happening. There are a lot of things that maybe were taught growing up, or things that we've taken to be more black and white that we're kind of gently sort of unpacking together. And that can be really hard for people the first week. I think it's like emotionally exhausting in a lot of ways. And it's like, if you don't want to be there, then you're not going to like get what you've heard other people getting out of it. Like, you're not going to get that from that experience. And so the best sort of advice I can give to people who like are just being told like go, go, go is like when you are ready and you feel like that's a thing that you want to do, that's the best time to go. Even if like it means you have to kind of ignore or tamp down your own self-doubt. Like if you are seeking something, if you're seeking Sangit, if you're seeking to have a place to ask certain questions and not necessarily have concrete answers, like I think that this is a good environment to be in and a good experience to have. Right. Yeah, and I think that's also what makes it important is that like nobody is going to tell you like this is the way that it is and there's no other answer. It's like a lot of times, which also can be a frustrating thing for people, it's like you'll ask a question and people will be like, well, what do you think?
What do you think?
Yeah. Or like,
what does the Gurmukh framework tell you?
Yeah, what does the Gurmukh framework tell you? Here are some resources you can look at. And it's like, oh, I just want somebody to tell me the answer. Yeah. But that's the point, is like we're trying to like cultivate tools for ourselves to think through many things together, not just like straightforwardly like related to Sikhi things, but also just like stuff in our personal lives. Like I think one of the things that really was nice to see was like some of the teenagers who took one of our like pilot programs back in the day when they were like 17 came to Siddhik a couple years later and they were like, I use the Gurmukh framework all the time. Not just like when I'm thinking about Sikhi stuff, like I'm always thinking about Bani Tavarik and Reth. And I was like, wow, okay, amazing. Yeah, that's nice to, I think, hear that there is like a little bit of a difference. And it's not that like camps are bad, but it's just
it fulfills a different need. And this is also a different need. Because I think a lot of times is people get very comfortable in camp spaces.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, well then how do I make it my own? Or like, how do I, you know, understand my unique questions? I mean, yeah, we all have a lot of questions to ask, but some people do have different questions about Sikhi, about like what they should do. And then if you bring it to a camp space, sometimes there isn't the space to talk about it. But since we're at Siddhik for 2 weeks with so many, you know, so many opportunities to just talk about whatever, I think it allows for that space too. So I can sympathize with, you know, camps just don't have the capacity to do some of this kind of stuff, right? Yeah. I think that the Siddhik space has it creates space for moments of authentic conversation and, you know, authentic questioning, I think is really important. You need time to do those, you know, which is really special to have. And I think being a little disconnected from like your phone and stuff can help, but
okay. I think I'm gonna ask like one more question so that we can wrap it up, but because you've shared a lot of really great like Siddhik memory, so I'm not going to be like, what was your core memory from Siddhik, unless you have one that you're like dying to share.
Well, I was gonna say the Painan Lal Goya guzzles, but yeah, like I've been talking about that
forever. you've talked to me about that forever, and I agree, because I sat in on one of those sessions and I was like, I'm a changed
the blue man. Vault.
The blue vault, yeah. I guess
but I mean, another like I guess core memory too for me is like we went stargazing one night.
Yeah,
it was just, you know, like a cutesy little activity that a bunch of, like it was like 20 of us.
Yeah,
it was a big group too, right? And there were like a million shooting stars, so it was beautiful. So I think that's one special thing about Siddhik too, is that you're with people for 2 weeks nonstop.
Yeah,
you obviously get your own room and you can have alone time, but you get close to people and then you have these special off time moments too, where you're just relaxing, you're going on a walk, you're just sitting on lawn chairs talking about like, you know, anything.
Everything.
Like, anything and everything. So like, it's not also just like we're sitting there like, you know, like fighting about Gurbani all day. Obviously that's like a big majority of like we're discussing, we're learning, but then also you have these really special offline moments, but I don't know why I chose to say that word. But yeah, these just, you know, moments that you're just hanging out as friends.
Yeah, no, that's really nicely put. I agree with that 100%. So much of like my favorite memories from Siddhik are like outside of the classroom, just like meeting people and having really lovely discussions and stuff. Okay, to sum it up, to wrap it up, I don't want to be like, how did Civic change your life? Because that's a huge question, but like, maybe what changed for you after Civic? Like, for me, maybe I wasn't super ready for it when I was 18. Like, I don't think that so much changed when I went to college. Maybe it gave me some grounding, and I haven't really like understood how it affected me in that way. But I think post-college, when I came as a 22-year-old, I was like so, it was like so much dealing with these issues of like belonging and being sick enough and being Punjabi enough and feeling unqualified, like everything under the sun I was like trying to deal with. And I think like going to Civic and understanding that people all had some kind of version of that insecurity or struggle or whatever, and that like we were there's a possibility always to cultivate compassionate and nuanced non-judgmental spaces, like I was like, oh, okay, now we're talking. And I think that that really changed things for me. So, and also I know we've talked a lot about like longing and seeking, and I think that for me it like allowed me to understand that I don't need to ask permission from anybody to like be allowed to engage in seeking and longing. And I think that was huge. So yeah, I don't know, like what
changed? Yeah, like samesies. Like,
okay.
Totally. Like, yeah, no, I would definitely like relate a lot to not belonging. And I still struggle with those thoughts, right? Of like, oh, I don't know. I'm not like fluent enough at Gurmukhi reading. And I don't know about this. And I'm terrified somebody's going to be like, okay, well, what page of Guru Granth Sahib Ji was that on? And I'm like, I don't know. Or like, what Sakhi is that from, you know, or history, you know, like, that kind of stuff. Like I was definitely and still somewhat am terrified that like if I get into an argument, how am I gonna argue my values? But I think actually what, and I can't say like I'm fixed, I'm changed, I can't say that, but I do think I'm starting to understand too of like I don't owe anything to anybody with my Sikhi either. Like of course like being a critical thinker is important, and you know, not just like making up stuff and believing in it is important, but I don't owe anything to anyone where I have to explain every little bit or put on a show or know the most in the room. Like I'm a learner, we're all learners, we're just practicing here on this earth all together. And that was really important for me to know, and something I'm still trying to like actually practice and be okay with that. But then yeah, like I really related to when you said I don't have to ask permission to have a relationship with, you know, Gurbani or anything. And yeah, I think that's why I love the ghazals so much. They're so intimate to the point where like I feel like I have to close my eyes because I was just like, I'm intruding. But I think what's special is like that is not unattainable for anyone here. We can also have that level of intimacy, and that's okay, you know. No, I feel like you put it really well of like, you don't have to ask permission. I think that's what we're taught. And I think especially like being a woman in this space too, of, and a lot of times in Punjabi culture, you know, it's very hard for women to feel like they can take up space or they can ask questions or they can be a leader. And I really felt empowered to, you know, like lean into, you know, these like feminine qualities of like loving and nurturing or whatever. Like you can lean into those qualities without being, you know, pushed aside for being too emotional or whatever. No, that's the point. We're being emotional, we're being vulnerable, and that is also worthwhile. And you're worth taking up space for that, you know. So I really, really enjoyed that, and I'm still exploring that right now. Like, what does that mean in a Sikh space? Like, what does that also mean for my own personal journey in Sikhi too? So yeah, we love talking about longing. We love talking about love. I'm longing to long. I'm exploring like, what does it even mean to long? What does it even mean to want to long? Like that was a big wake up call for me of like, I want this relationship so badly. And I can aspire for the feelings that Bhai Nand Lal Ji is having, I don't know if I'm there yet. And I think that, actually, me being like, every time I say something, I'm like, that's what I learned. That's it. This is really what I learned, though, of like, longing to long is a part of the process, too. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Beautifully put, as always. Yeah, thank you so much. This was so nice to talk to you about your experience, and I'm excited to keep at it this coming summer and see what gets chipped away at for both of us. I think it'll be good.
Yeah, we're just getting chiseled.
We're just getting chiseled.
Yeah. I'm like, is that the word? I'm like, oh yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's the word. We love to say we're getting chiseled. Yeah. Okay.
And to me, that idea is so powerful too, because it's a work in progress.
Yes.
I think we all struggle with wanting to be perfect without wanting to like try something the first time and be like, wow, I'm so good at this. Mm. But we're in the process of being chiseled. We're not done. And it's also like, we're chiseling, but also the world is chiseling us. You know, it's a process.
Yeah. Yeah. And he always says that like Shabbat chisels us, Shabbat works on us. And I think that's really true. So even the things like the effects of going to Siddiq or engaging with Gurbani in that way are like, it's still happening. We just like don't necessarily know what it's doing yet. Which is kind of cool. Yeah. Well, thank you again for joining us. For those of you who are listening and interested, I hope that this was helpful. If you have any questions about Siddiq, feel free to email me at jasleen.gore@sikri.org or check out sikri.org/Siddiq, where you can also find the application. Thank you again, Simranjeet. Waheguru Ji Ka Khalsa, Waheguru Ji Ki Fateh.
You are listening to SikCast by Sikh Research Institute, illuminating every path.